and welcome to Series 3 of the Learning and Development Challenges podcast. Once again, Adam from AssembleU here as your host. Today, I'm joined by Anne O'Neill. Anne is the co-founder and CEO of Adora, a women's health platform supporting women through menopause, which she founded after 2 decades working for some of the world's largest media businesses. Adora is a menopause health and well-being platform with access to online gynecologist experts and a companion app driven by conversational AI, free for women and paid for by employers. Adora is addressing the unique healthcare requirements of working women during menopause and helping create a positive workplace culture where women thrive. Anne is working with UCL, BMS and RCOG to build a menopause education and support program for women in the UK, as well as working with the NHS to ensure Adora is offered to those women who are not in employment, thereby helping to reduce health inequities. And today, of course, we're going to talk about how we can offer better support for women going through the menopause. Anne, it's a real pleasure to have you here.
Hi, Adam. Thanks very much for the invitation.
Cool. So let's kick off. So can you start by giving us a clear definition of menopause and maybe dispelling some of those commonly held myths or worse, half-truths? Because I think they're always the worst of the two.
Yeah, of course. Happy to do that, Adam. Simply put, menopause is the permanent end of a woman's periods. And so it signals the natural winding down of a woman's reproductive system. It's a time when hormones start to fluctuate, and these hormonal changes cause a lot of symptoms that a woman then has to understand and try to deal with. Typically happens between the ages of 45 and 55, and a lot of women are surprised by that. They think it happens when they're older. In fact, the average age in the UK for women to reach menopause is 51, and then it lasts for the rest of a woman's life. So a woman could be in menopause for up to a third of her life. So, yeah, in terms of misconceptions, first of all, menopause is not a disease. It's a natural event, a biological transition, and it happens to every single woman in the world. Also, it doesn't happen overnight. And there's this lead-up phase called perimenopause, which starts when a woman is in her 40s, so often coinciding with a woman at the peak of her career. And while menopause is the end of a woman's fertility, it absolutely does not mean the end of a woman's sex life or her purpose or her womanhood. As far as I'm concerned, it's a privilege to grow older, and menopause is just another part of that journey for women. And so it should be normalized, and this taboo around it should be removed. Another misconception is that all women experience menopause the same way, and that's just not true. The severity and the types of symptoms, they vary greatly from woman to woman. So about 20% of lucky women sail through with minimal impact. But the majority of women, so about 80% of women, experience a range of physical and emotional effects. For around 25%, the effects can be really severe, and they can impact on a woman's life and on her work. And for those women, it's really difficult to manage symptoms. They impact a lot on her work and life. So for me, you know, the key takeaway for your audience is that menopause is going to happen to every woman. It's totally normal. It should be something really natural to talk about. And then for those women in the workplace, understanding, well, actually for everybody in the workplace, because whilst menopause happens to women, it impacts on everybody around that woman. So for those in the workplace, understanding the facts around menopause can really help women navigate this transition with confidence and stay in the workplace.
Fantastic. That was super comprehensive. And I've learned at least 2 or 3 things in that short introduction. So thank you so much. That's a brilliant context to jump off into the rest of the interview. We've got some really good and hopefully interesting questions coming up. But first of all, I wanted to actually talk a little bit about Adora and your personal journey to founding Adora and how you currently support women going through menopause. That feels like a good starting point. And then we're going to go into some of the do's and don'ts, some tips for HR and for L&D as well. So let's start there, Anne. So tell us a bit about how Adora came about.
Well, so I had an earlier first career in broadcast. I worked for some great companies in radio and TV. And then sort of late 30s, gave up to be at home to help, well, to be the main parent for our 3 boys. I thought I'd have a couple of years off. And then sort of 8 years later, I realized, oh, time's flown, and I started to go back to the workplace and in a sort of different role as consultant within startups, which I loved. And then wham, bam, I was hit by these strange symptoms, which I didn't understand and I didn't recognize, nor did my GP when I went in to talk to her about them. So I struggled myself for about 2 years. My confidence was impacted. My earnings were impacted. And I just sort of withdrew. It was not like me at all. I just didn't feel myself. And I thought something was really wrong. And nothing was wrong other than I was experiencing the symptoms of perimenopause. So the whole experience took much longer than it should have to get to help. And it was pretty rubbish. And no one was really talking about it then. But I started talking about it and I realized that it was the experience of loads of people around me. And it had been the experience for women before me. So my mother and her generation, they just put up with this and I didn't appreciate that. And I wanted to be part of the solution. And that's when the idea of Dora came to me. And I'm passionate about two things, really. One is that expert healthcare and services for women going through menopause should be free. They shouldn't have to pay for this themselves. So that was one thing. And then the second thing was that I didn't want any woman to be left behind. So we're positioned as an expert employee benefit, and companies can buy for their female employees. We're also working with the NHS to ensure those women not in employment don't get left behind, and Dora can be accessed via the NHS in time. That's a sort of longer term strategy.
Amazing. And so the most staggering thing I found about what you just said there is you went to your female GP and they didn't recognise the symptoms you have.
There is a lot more awareness now of menopause. I mean, Davina McCall, the Channel 4 documentary about 3 years ago, is, you know, it did a lot of good in that it raised awareness of menopause. But I think we talk to women all the time and we're still hearing that symptoms are not recognised by the women themselves and they're not recognised by GPs. So GPs weren't trained in menopause. They did like a mornings workshop back in medical school. It's up to the GP to do specialist training around this subject and to become more informed. But there are many GPs who aren't experts. And if a woman goes and presents one of those 40 symptoms, one of the 40 symptoms that are lesser known, which was my story, GP is not going to recognize it as being due to menopause because there's just not enough awareness and information. So unfortunately, it is still happening. And it's one of the reasons why women need to be educated on this, so they can advocate for themselves with their healthcare professional.
Yeah, and that I guess is almost where we can step in as HR, learning professionals, organisations, because we can help be, in theory, that bridge to that right information. So it feels like a really nice segue into our next question, which is on, as someone in human resources, in learning or any kind of organisation, what are some of the do's and the absolute don'ts when trying to educate and outreach on this topic? You know, what would your advice be?
Yeah, good question. So when we started the door about 4 years ago, we talked to employers and it was mostly the case that nobody was talking about menopause. It wasn't on the agenda for the board or the C-suite, and workplaces, people looked slightly stunned when I asked them what their policy or strategy for supporting women in menopause was. Happy to say that's no longer the case. And pretty much all companies are aware of it. Companies are at different stages, though. Some have already implemented expert services or policy, and others still trying to understand. So in terms of MOPS or advice for me, in terms of do's and don'ts, I think one of the most important things is tackling culture and creating a supportive environment for women experiencing. It's pretty crucial. But some thoughts on how to approach this. If you haven't already started the conversation in your workplace, just be mindful that 62% of women experience menopause symptoms that impact their work. 19% reduce work hours because of menopause symptoms. And a further 18% take more than 8 weeks off work as they struggle with menopause symptoms. So if you haven't started the conversation, it's time to, because that's going to be really impacting on your business and productivity. Normalizing this subject is a great first step, and you can do that in a number of ways. So you can legitimize it by introducing a menopause policy. That's a good place to begin. And then I would suggest, because every organization is different, start listening to the women in your workplace, hold a workshop or some informal sessions to understand their needs, to also to spread some good information and educate employees, and to do some of what we're doing today, which is dispel myths around menopause. If you want to go further and actually help women manage their symptoms during this stage, then focus on flexibility and adjustments for those who need it. We know that symptoms can impact on work. You just heard me give some stats on that. So if you can do things like offer flexible work arrangements, for example, flexible hours on a temporary basis for those moments in a month, perhaps when a woman might need it 40% of women suffer from flooding around this time, which is really horrible symptom to deal with. So if you can be flexible at that time, that really helps a woman manage her symptoms, adjusted break times to accommodate individual needs. There's this brilliant guide that was published last year by British Standards. It's the BS 30416. And I would recommend anyone who's sort of unsure what to do to download that. It's free to download. And it's quite comprehensive. There are about 48 pages, but there's a lot of great information as to what a company can do. So that's a really good standard for people, for your audience to think about. And then going back to the point about workplace culture, promote open communication, encourage managers to let employees know it's safe to ask for adjustments or support. They're not going to be judged if they do that. And often that's really difficult for people. So provide some crib sheets to break that down and just make it, give some guides so people are more comfortable having those conversations. Other ideas would be to provide resources. So creating some kind of resource centre with expert information and education on menopause, which actually the government have stipulated employers must do anyway. So provide services like Adora, which is an expert platform and can help women get the help they need more quickly than I got my help, which, as if you remember, it was 2 years. One of the things we wanted to solve was that very early assessment, which gave women some information that could help them advocate for themselves and get the help they need. And that's great for a workplace because it means women aren't struggling for 2 years, but they're on it. They're empowered to get the help that they need. And to remember to be inclusive, because menopause impacts on transgender and non-binary individuals as well. So think about that, the diverse experiences of people impacted. And then you said about don'ts. Well, so I would say, you know, it's not the 90s. So office banters are hopefully a thing of the past. Don't make light of it. Menopause is a real experience with real symptoms. So, you know, avoid jokes or dismissive comments in your workplace. And then, as you heard me say, not everyone's experience is the same. So symptoms and needs vary greatly. So try to treat each situation with sensitivity. And, you know, don't just focus on the physical symptoms as well. 50% of women experience emotional symptoms. So things like heightened anxiety, low confidence, brain fog. So be mindful of those emotional and mental health considerations when thinking about how to support women. And don't expect people to talk about their symptoms. Some women want to or will be willing to. Others absolutely won't be. And they shouldn't have to reveal anything. Just create a space so that they can discuss in a respectful manner if they need to or if they want to. I think those would be sort of some of the top tips. Hope that's helpful.
Brilliant. Yeah, no, that's really good. So treat each situation with sensitivity, create the space, don't kind of force, you know, conversations or things on people that they may not be comfortable with, and then do your best to normalize it. Some of the notes I took down there is a good, really good starting point. And then so at the organizational level, so, you know, you're kind of your company owner almost. It starts at the top, doesn't it? This kind of stuff is what I'm saying. And you're talking about culture and that kind of area. So really this has to come from top down. I guess some things come kind of grassroots and they're a movement, but do you see more success in businesses where this is really adopted and embraced, like at the C-suite, at the top level? Yeah,
100%. I would put that almost at the top. Get senior buy-in. If you think about people running companies or the board, they're going to be people mostly in their 40s, 50s. They should recognize this. If it's men, they might not be going through it, but somebody around them might be, their sister or their wife, if they're married, or friends. So getting that buy-in, I think, is very powerful to get those at the top talking about it. And if they're willing, even better, if they're willing to share their experiences. It takes the fear away in the workplace. So that would be an amazing thing if you can get people to do that. And why not? I've seen a lot of people do it very successfully. So that would be a great thing for company owners and, you know, the leaders to do, to show this is normal and they're taking it seriously.
Yeah. And I guess they, you know, they can almost not lead the way, but set the example for it being normalized in the rest of the organization. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, there are a couple of times of the year. There's International Women's Day in March, and then there's Menopause Day in October. So workplaces are often thinking about what they can do. And I think they want people to attend, getting the CEO, CFO, whatever, to talk about this, I think it's a good way to get a lot of people listening.
Yeah, love it. They should do a podcast, shouldn't they? It's a good idea.
They should do a podcast.
Brilliant. So, and then what I wanted to do, you gave a few snippets of what leaders can do, but, you know, in a kind of leadership situation. So I've been asked to maybe talk about menopause with my team, be given some education, some training. What are some like critical things to do? Where would you start? I guess I'm asking like quite practically here. You know, I've got a team of people. This is something we want to normalize, talk about, and educate on. What's my starting point? Obviously, other than maybe getting a door in.
Starting point is getting a door in.
Yeah, number one. That would be my top tip.
I suppose, yeah, a couple of things. One is all around the communication. So initiate open communication. And then secondly, offer some practical support. So if we go back to communication, start, if you haven't already, start the conversation. And, you know, thinking about a line manager and perhaps an issue of somebody not quite performing in their team, don't necessarily wait for that person to come to you. Just maybe check in with them along the lines of, you know, everything okay? I've noticed you've been quite quiet or not quite yourself, which is a phrase that women use to me all the time. So it's okay to say that back to someone. It's okay to ask somebody, you're not quite yourself, is everything okay? And then wait for a response. You know, actively listen to that. I think that's very powerful. And line managers will want to be helping the people in their team anyway. And then normalize the topic in team meetings by mentioning it. And team meetings are in one-to-one. So that's a good way to communicate. And then create some safe spaces. So I think, you know, hold some informal gatherings or afternoon tea breaks, or, you know, put the kettle on and buy some biscuits and just invite people to come and share their experiences. But do this with thought. It is an informal situation, but it needs to be handled sensitively and with some expertise. It can go wrong. So there was an example in the press last month about Vanti, who had a sort of informal gathering led by women. They put together the sort of help pack, goodie bag of things that should help women through the menopause, including a paperclip to hold things together, a jelly baby so you could bite the head off somebody if you're feeling really angry. And it was the wrong kind of messages to be sending. It was reinforcing old stereotypes of menopausal women. And that's why, whilst it's important to hold informal gatherings, make sure that somebody is chairing them who has an understanding of workplace communication, or hold dedicated workshops on the topic as well. And then invite experts or professionals to come in and talk about it and answer questions. And one of the things that we do at DORA is monthly webinars where everybody's invited and we tackle a subject. And so people learn in a group situation, they can ask questions. And so we're guiding and educating, but it's all led by experts as well. And then in terms of practical support, I think managers need some training, some help, so they know how to handle this. Otherwise, it becomes a barrier or it doesn't happen at all. But they're not expected to become menopause experts and experts on symptom management, but they are expected to signpost to the resources that a company offers. And I think when a line manager is aware of their role, that's really helpful for them. And then make sure there are wellness resources around this subject, whether on your intranet or menopause-specific communities or support groups, and make sure people know about them, so communicate them and publicise them. And I suppose just a couple of things, you know, confidentiality is obviously key. So never out somebody or sort of discuss somebody's menopause without their permission, and try to focus on solutions. So work collaboratively with people to find adjustments or solutions that will allow them to perform their best at work. And these, as I said, these can often be temporary or actually not very costly. Again, that guide, the BS 30416, is an excellent example. It's an excellent a resource for all companies and it's free. So to download that and look at what works for them in their particular workplace, whether it's an office or a plant or retail. But there'll be tips for all of those in that guide.
I'm going to get that link from you after this.
Yeah, it's a good one.
we'll pop it in the show notes because I think you've referenced it a couple of times. I definitely feel like it's a good place for people to start. There's so many good points there and like really relevant points as well. So it's one thing just creating resources or having resources available, but if people don't know where to get them, if they're not easily accessible, if they're not being properly publicized, if people can't then discuss those resources in a safe space, if it's not normalized, or if there's some, you know, if people don't want to talk about it because they think that others are going to be inappropriate, or, you know, like I say, banter is a good word we use in this country, but is actually really bad in the workplace in a lot of ways for a lot of topics, and not something that, yeah, that should be made light of. So yeah, some fantastic tips there. And yeah, thank you for sharing them. My next question is actually just advice to men on this topic, because I feel like, you know, this affects what, you know, 50% of the workforce effectively. And then the, like you say, men also are not necessarily going through this, but are close to people who are going through it. And I certainly have felt in the past with other things, not with menopause, but with other things, that I'm a bit of a bystander. And I'm thinking here about, you know, my wife giving birth and things like that. And just actually, there's not too much I can do, try my best to help and all this kind of stuff. But what is it the men can do, should do, shouldn't do as well? Because I think that's really important, both in the personal lives, but also in an organizational context. I guess that question covers both.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for asking that. And just, I bet you were great support to your wife. But that sort of feeling of it not happening to you and you seeing somebody going through something is very much, I think, what a lot of men have described to us. And the other great thing is men are brilliant, aren't they? So many men want to support their wives or partners or their colleagues through this. We hear that all the time. It's definitely the case that the majority of men want to be an ally. They want to understand. It's also the case they're a bit worried about the subject. They don't know quite what to say or do. And when I get into lots of conversations with men about this, often they're sort of senior leaders and they sort of, oh, actually my wife. And we sort of end up having this personal conversation. And, you know, pretty much everybody wants to understand so they can be supportive. And that's great. And in terms of how you can do that, so I think the first thing is it comes to education. So take the initiative to learn about menopause, understand what a woman is experiencing, how it impacts her, how she might present to you as a result of that. And in fact, Adam, we're going to do a podcast or a webinar on this. And it's one of the reasons for that is because so many men have asked us to. So we're going to do one sort of A to Z, the basics. This is what it's about and this is how you can help. And probably 4 years ago, I didn't really have any demand for that. And now we have. But education is really important. And, you know, make sure the resources you use are sort of reliable, like NHS website or British Menopause Society website, and organisations focused on women's health like ADORA as well. You'll find lots of information there. And then again, sort of be respectful and be open and create a safe space for the sort of conversations about menopause in the workplace. Listen actively, don't dismiss concerns and don't necessarily think you have to solve them. This is about understanding and signposting. And then try not to judge a woman, try not to dismiss pain, try not to dismiss the emotional impact. Women are often not listened to at these moments. It's another thing that we hear all the time. They're dismissed very easily and their pain is dismissed and their suffering is dismissed. So don't be part of that. Really don't judge and really try to be as empathetic. It can be a very challenging time. And so your understanding can really help. And you know, as we said, just avoid jokes. It's just not the moment for that. And then in terms of sort of the practical side, recognize some of these symptoms can be very disabling. And I don't use that word lightly. Some of the fatigue or the sort of the pain or the flooding that women experience can really interrupt their daily flow. So try to be flexible with those workplace adjustments and respect their needs. And then finally, just sort of break down, you know, play your part in breaking down the stigma and be part of the solution about the fact that this is still taboo in areas. Help to normalize menopause by having open conversations with other men. Help them understand by sharing what you've learned and dispel some of the myths that can create, you know, a not very nice workplace culture. And I think that's how men can become valuable allies and partners for their partners themselves or for colleagues in the workplace. Because as I said before, whilst women go through the menopause, it's those around them that are also impacted. So it's kind of a journey for everyone, really.
Yeah, exactly. And have you found, just on the workplace adjustments thing, I'm intrigued because, like, in a knowledge worker context, so that the, you know, the type of work you and I do versus, say, you know, a physical job or, you know, a service job or something like that, have you noticed that since COVID, it's been easier for employers, have been more readily able to do kind of workplace adjustments because of hybrid working and the fact that they've built out more flexible policies and things like that? Or has there not been a huge amount of change? Because just, you know, thinking about the way that we work and our team, we're fully remote, we're at home, people manage their own time. There's a lot of flexibility in there for them to take personal time as and when they need it. And yeah, and kind of works around them a bit more. Are you seeing a trend towards that now? Or, you know, has everyone gone a bit JP Morgan and everyone's back to the office and they, you know, they've got to be in for X amount of time and stuff like that?
I think there's definitely a pre and post COVID situation still. So I think my experience pre COVID, going back a few years, was there was very little scope flexibility around even family needs, let alone personal health needs. And that's why things like mental health were not disclosed. And it's why menopause symptoms haven't been disclosed. Menopause symptoms are often not given as a reason for absence in the workplace. So there's not a lot of data around this, but certainly it was different pre-COVID. Post-COVID, it's much more normal to understand what a flexible working pattern might look like. But there are industries and sectors where it's easier for women. Knowledge workers, it's easier for women. Desk-based work is easier for women. There are other areas, for example, in education, there's a big teachers' conference just this year at the beginning of April, talking about the need for menopause support and policy for teachers. We've spoken to teachers who, again, I'm talking about flooding a lot. I've not really talked about flooding a lot previously, but for teachers, having sort of symptoms whereby they're in the classroom and they need to have regular breaks or regular supports, that's very difficult. And it's not very easy for them to be out of the classroom either. So there are adjustments in that sector, which would be different to adjustments that might be in knowledge worker, people who do a lot of their work on a desktop. But then there are other areas. There are sort of in retail where uniforms might be worn and employers can think about material that their uniforms are made in. It should be natural cotton, linens, those sort of materials rather than synthetic materials. They're better for women experiencing hot flushes or temperature changes. And then employers who have large offices should be sort of thinking about open windows or temperature control for women as well. But it is certainly the case that it feels flexible hours are something that really work for women. There's lots of studies around that. And I think especially at this time, if women have the opportunity to request more flexibility, that's very helpful whilst symptoms might be at their worst.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you. So, yeah, no, sorry, I sprung that one on you. That was just out of interest in the way that the world of work is changing. And you've shared so much with us today. Thank you for a start. There's tons and tons of very useful, very practical points in there. And I'm sure things that our audience will be able to apply straight away in their organizations or start thinking and talking about. And like you say, I think, you know, big first step here is for organizations who aren't proactive on this is to start being proactive on it, start getting in front of it and start normalizing it as much as possible, or start normalizing talking about it as much as possible is what I should say rather. My final thing to ask is, how can people get hold of you? And you mentioned Adora, obviously. What's the website? Where can people go if they want to find out a bit more about how you could possibly help their business or their organization?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So I'm on LinkedIn, Anne O'Neill on LinkedIn. Company's Adora Digital Health. So we have a company page. There's my page. I post quite a lot about keeping women in the workplace, which I'm passionate about, and gender pay gap and the gender pensions gap. Those are sorts of things that I'll be talking about if you're interested in those. And then on our website, Adora, adora.health, we have information that we hope will help employers get their heads around this. And we've got an example of a menopause policy. We've got a calculator on there so you can kind of tap in how many women in your workplace and how much it's going to cost you if you don't do anything about this. And that can help put your business case together. We'll help you put a business case together. As I say, we exist to give information to women so that they can get on top of their symptoms and stay thriving and in life and in work. We don't want women leaving the workplace because of this. It impacts on them financially, it impacts on them socially, We don't want companies that don't have diverse leadership and workforces. I'm sure we don't, because the role of women is really important. We want women to stay healthy and to thrive as they go through menopause. That's what we do. We're a health and wellbeing service, so we have an online clinic which is populated by gynecologists and women's health experts, so women can easily get the information from experts. We do monthly webinars, so we're changing the workplace culture 1 month at a time. And we have a companion app, so we personalize all the information that women get on their symptoms. So whether it's joint aches or brain fog or hot flushes, we give her expert information. So we're highly regulated as a tool. And yeah, people can go and book time with me or just contact me via the webpage. We'd love to help as many companies as want to be progressive and be seen as a good employer.
And thank you so much for joining us today. That's Anne O'Neill from Adora.health. We'll be back soon with another episode of Learning and Development Challenges. We look forward to seeing you there.